I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Plantain, 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 plantain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. I'm your host, Tosin, as always, and my co-host today is Dean. Dean, how you doing today?
Bien, bien, bien.
Yeah. Yo no, I don't even know how to say, I don't know how to say Spanish. I don't know how to speak Spanish.
Yo no hablo español?
No hablo español.
Yo no Trent?
Un poquito.
Un poquito, Trent?
Un poquito.
You not no light skinned nigga, man. You not no poquito Trent. Fuck out of here, bro.
Nah, man. I'm not. I got two black parents and four black grandparents.
Two black parents, four black parents, one white woman. Congrats.
Hey. Only thing white here is your t-shirt and your hat. That's the only thing that's white here.
Oh, man.
We are not swirling. Absolutely.
Bro, why are we here today? Like, we're supposed to be on break. Why are we recording this? What's going on?
We took a week off and we decided, you know what? We love our people so much that we're going to dedicate our own time, our own energy to give them something, anything. That's what we're doing here because we love them so much.
That's fair. I hope the people that are supposed to be listening to this whenever we put it out are having so much fun that they actually don't listen to this. Like, if you hear yourself listening to this right now, whoever you are, whether I know you or I don't, you need to turn this shit off and go get some hoes, man. Like, you not getting enough bitches if you're out here listening to podcasts about football during the summer. Disgusting. Who are you, like Gianni Infantino? Come on, man, take a break.
And if you do have hoes, listen to this with the hoes.
Yeah, for sure. Like, share this podcast with all your hoes. Yeah. But not your actual friends, just the hoes.
Yeah, and we mean hoes in a gender-neutral term because we do not, you know.
Hoes is a gender. I mean, check the dictionary. It's a gender-neutral term. We don't have to explain that to the people. Come on.
Yeah. Speaking of hoes, that was a terrible transition. I didn't want to continue. My brain was, you know, we're not going to do that. But the Club World Cup has started, and before we get into the games, I want your opinion. This is a new Club World Cup, right? Like, we are people who are sick of been watching this sport forever. Club World Cup started in 2000. It was actually Milan's old president's idea. You know the one that died? Bunga Bunga? That was his idea. It was actually his idea in 93, if you didn't know.
I mean, back then we called it the Confederations Cup,
I think. Yeah. But he was the one that came up with this whole basic concept of Club World Cup.
Well, I don't think we've ever actually had this. It was just the Intercontinental Cup between the champions of Europe and the champions of South America.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, is very exclusionary, but that's really all people care about.
Yeah. But him and Sepp Blatter came up with it, obviously, the two.
Probably in the middle of an orgy.
In Vegas.
Leave America out of this. This is a good country.
Yeah. This is God's country. But yeah, we've expanded the Club World Cup. I say we, like, because I'm part of FIFA. They've expanded it. And now we have, what, like a gaggle of teams, like almost 32.
I think it's 32. They're already talking about 48 for the next one.
Yeah. And I'm watching this tournament. And on Sunday, I watched PSG versus Atletico Madrid. I went out with one of the homies to go watch the game. And I saw Nuno Mendes literally put his hands on his knees. And you could tell the boy's exasperated. And what blew my mind was 2 weeks before that game, he was in the Champions League final. A week later, he was in the Nations League final. And then 2 weeks later, he's in the Club World Cup. I'm like, but you know, before I would, these boys not get rest? And I know people are going to say, oh, they make this much money, that much money. But come on, man. At some point, you can't keep using these boys like Rams. Like, this is insane.
Like, I've said it before on this podcast over a number of years. These guys make too much money to not have an actual union that has some strength.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. Roger complained about the schedule and like 2 weeks later did his ACL, you know. So I do have concerns about the health of all the players, at least the players that abide by the European schedule that are here, because I don't know exactly how the South American schedule works in relation to the European schedule right now. But I get the sense from the little I've seen from the game so far that everyone else is taking this a little more seriously than the Europeans. Fair enough, because this is new. This is a big deal around the world. I know people in Africa are excited. People in South America are excited. People in Asia are excited. But there's only so, I mean, personally, I can't speak for anyone else. If I was maybe 12 years old, I'd be excited to just watch more and more football. But at my advanced age, at bucket hat age, I'm kind of good. I need a break so I can be excited for the season to come back in a couple months. Like if I'm just watching club football, like I don't mind watching football in the summer. I've always watched football in the summer. That's when all the cool tournaments happen. That's when, you know, like this summer we have the Women's Euros. What else we got? We got the Gold Cup, which I haven't paid much attention to in recent years, but it's still the continental tournament in America, in CONCACAF. You know, so I've always paid attention to that. So the fact that we now have to divide our attention between continental tournaments during the summer and essentially what's a made-up tournament that has only really gained credibility because Saudi folks decided to give them a bunch of money for prize money, which then made all the Europeans go, oh, okay, if you're talking money, we'll pull up. You know, that has given credibility to something that, honestly, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of appetite for around the globe. Like the game that's supposed to be going on right now as we talk to each other, I think it's Osan versus Mamelodi Sundowns, I believe. Mm-hmm. And when that game was supposed to kick off, there were 97 people in the stands. 97.
In a 25,000-seater stadium.
So why are we doing this? Is this necessary? Like, are the Mamelodi Sundowns going to go back to South Africa and say, hey, man, we got to hang out in a stadium in Orlando and there was no one else there, but, you know, we got $1 million, which would then, you know, distort their local leagues. There are a lot of the teams in this tournament are going to go back to their local leagues and become the Bayern Munich of their local leagues because they got all this money that they're not going to share with the rest of their leagues, you know. So I don't particularly understand how this is a positive even for the, I mean, I guess having money is better than not having it, but I find it difficult to understand how this is necessarily growing the game in a positive manner. It might grow the game, but some people are going to be left behind.
I'm going to double down on your point. Ali, who started off the tournament against Inter, played 0-0. They're obviously the best team on the African continent club-wise. They just won the African Champions League. They're getting more money for just participating in this tournament than actually winning the African Champions League. And the gulf between them and everybody else is already big. They already took Zamalek's best player already.
That's right? Insane. I remember coming up and Zamalek and Al Ahly, I sort of viewed them. I know they're still rivals. That doesn't change. But I sort of viewed them as equal. Al Ahly has lapped them in recent years. Then you give them all this money after the tournament. That can't end well for Egyptian football. You're just going to have, you know, a monopoly, you know, like mm-hmm. we have in many European countries. And I don't think that's ideal.
And I think the thing that like really, really grinds my gears is the fact that like this is a country where we're trying to grow the game. The game has grown in America. But 3 p.m. on a Monday to show a Chelsea game in Atlanta. First of all, people are working. Second of all, people at IHOP or wherever they do in Atlanta, whatever they do in Atlanta, they're there, not at the stadium at 3 p.m. I've been to that stadium and it was packed out last summer when I went.
You meant Waffle House.
Yes, right. Waffle House. Yes, right. Sorry. I forgot your pronouns, Atlanta. My fault.
There you go.
Yes, but it's just one of these things where we love football. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love this sport so much. Like, this sport has given me so much. It's only, you know, but at some point, even me, that's a sick man. Like, even today, I was like, I can't watch River Plate, man. I'm not watching River Plate versus Japanese team today, man. Like, that right there is going too far. That is when you need to call help, okay? You need to go call therapy when you're watching that on a 3 p.m. Tuesday.
You know, I'll put... Honestly, I could even bring myself to put it on at the office while I was doing, you know, usually, you know, like Champions League days, you just put it on in the background. Mm-hmm. I just like, this is not the time of the year for that shit. Like, especially right after the season, there's usually like a month period before the window opens, the transfer window, where you just kind of get to disconnect from football for a bit, but we're not getting that anymore. And on top of that, we already had like a mini 10-day window before this tournament, just for the tournament. So it's definitely distorted the calendar. It's distorted our experience as fans, but everything is new until it's not. So we'll see how this develops over time. But for now, I guess we have to engage with it because it exists. And this is what's going on in the sport right now. So I guess we're going to talk about it, aren't we?
Yeah. The opening ceremony, they had French Montana and Sway Lee.
Huh?
Yeah. They were doing Unforgettable. And boy, was that shit forgettable. But yeah, I was not a big fan of it. French Montana has braids now.
Well, you know, French Montana has a lot of shit he shouldn't have, but, you know, we're not going to get into that. This is not a rap podcast. It could be. If y'all want, let us know. If y'all want us to talk about rap exclusively, we can do that.
Yeah, man, we can, because we love rap music around here. We love beef too. Shout out to Pusha T.
And something about PP, you know, like I've been PP for weeks now, you know, so.
Yellow Diamonds are like PP. Al Ahly and Inter Milan was 0-0. I watched that game, and there wasn't really much to take away, honestly.
I don't know. I saw from the highlights I saw, and full disclosure, people, everything we said up front wasn't a lie. Like, I haven't watched any of these games, but I've watched all the highlights because I am a sicko. But that's all I'm giving to this tournament. Even when the games are supposedly get good later, when the big teams are facing, I'm going to watch highlights. I'm not making time for this. It's summer. I got to go be slutty outside. Fuck all that. Anyway, but I saw Al Ahly dominate Messi's team. I'm pretty sure Gianni Infantino did not prepare for that. That's not what he was hoping for. We were hoping to have Messi christen the tournament with a great performance to start things out. Inter Miami were on their back the whole game, and if Al Ahly, despite all that dominance they have in Africa, apparently they didn't bring a striker with them. You know, if they had brought a proper striker that could finish, they even missed a penalty. They had this Ustari motherfucker whose career should have ended a decade ago because he was trash. They had him out here looking like peak Jan Oblak or Donnarumma against Arsenal in the Champions League and shit, man. He was saving everything because the finishing was shit, you know, but still an entertaining game. Can't knock it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's 0-0. There's a player who, Trezeguet, who played for Aston Villa, plays for Al Ahly. Yeah, so, yeah. He's had an interesting career, to say the least. Bayern Munich and Auckland. I don't want to say anything too bad because one of my brother's clients plays for Auckland. But, it's that game was over.
Fuck you, your brother, and your brother's client. Nobody give a fuck about that. These niggas came here to waste our time. Like, what the fuck was that? 10-0? 10? Like, bro, you know what? I'm going to give them credit. You know why? Harry Kane ain't score. So I'm going to give them props for that.
That's a win.
That's a win. Hey, listen,
them. The funniest thing about after the game was they asked Michael Lisa, did they feel bad? He said no.
How could he feel bad? Like, do they think just because he plays in Germany that he's not German? Germans don't feel bad about any sort of victory, ever.
He's French, Algerian, Nigerian from South London. He has no... He's
French Montana. Let's move on.
PSG Atletico Madrid. The best part about this game was, what's it called? Diego Simeone complained after the game, talking about they could buy a winger in January. My brother in Christ, you spent a lot of money. What are you talking about?
I don't think his point was unreasonable. He was just, yeah. I think the question, I can't remember the exact question, but it was something about the differences between him and Luis Enrique. Mm-hmm. He was explaining that the context of the two clubs is different. And he's right. I mean, like, even though Atletico spent a bunch of money, Julian Alvarez cost 90 million euros. That's not nothing. But that's not PSG spending. I mean, like you said, you know, in January, I needed a player. They didn't do anything for me. Lucho needed a player. They got him a 70 million pound winger, you know, so... It's worth acknowledging, you know, but still, ain't nobody give a fuck, Cholo. You know, go harder, bro. You're supposed to be the ultimate troll. Give us something, you know. They didn't play well. They didn't want to be there.
No, like I told you, Nuno Mendes was literally tired,
bro. Man, my favorite part of the game was after the game when Marcos Llorente responded to at the press conference. He had a response to a question, and he said, playing in this heat is impossible. The heat is terrible. My toes hurt, even my toenails. I couldn't stop or start running. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But since it's the same for everybody, there's no point in complaining. Like, nigga, all you did was complain.
you know what him saying that reminds me of? If anybody's ever tried out for a soccer team in America in the summertime, that's what it reminds me of.
I do feel for them. I can't play anymore due to injuries. So but back when I did play, the weather was never a factor. Like, I just wanted to play, you know. If you play in this weather in a city like the one I live in, you lose like 8 pounds in just one pickup session, you know. So it has its benefits, but it's brutal on people. It just is. We're human beings. We know what it's like to be hot. Mm-hmm. And to compete against premier athletes in this American summer heat. They don't love these players, man. They need to fight back sooner. You know, it won't be ACLs. It'll be straight up lives. Niggas would be dying on the pitch. It's crazy.
Bro, it was in a Rose Bowl in the middle of the day, hey, in LA.
at least they had a good crowd. I'll give them that. You know,
they did.
The Rose Bowl is not the venue for that, man. Not the venue.
And also, like, to be honest, fans were struggling to get into the stadium. It was all a mess, man. It's been something.
All right, who's ready for another cocktail?
Yes, please. Whatever that last one was, it was incredible.
That was a Bartesian margarita. Bright, smooth, perfectly balanced. You'd swear it came from a bar.
That came from the Bartesian cocktail maker?
Yep, pop in a capsule, press a button, and boom. Bar quality cocktails at home. My friend swore by it, so I finally got one.
I tried the Old Fashioned earlier. Honestly, it's the best I've had outside an actual bar.
Right? Over 60 craft cocktail options, ready in under 30 seconds. And Bartesian's running their biggest holiday deal, up to $150 off cocktail makers right now.
Wait, up to $150? That's huge.
Exactly. Holiday hosting just got way easier.
Make your holiday gatherings unforgettable with Bartesian, the cocktail maker that crafts smooth, bar-quality drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. The biggest savings of the year end December 2nd. Don't miss out. Order now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
Nothing else. Palmeiras and Porto was 0-0. It was entertaining. The battle of colonialism. Who speaks Portuguese better? That's what this game was about.
Mad shh going on that. I feel like shh. Pash de Boff, you know. Fabio Biash, you know. But yeah, fun game. Again, this was probably the game that made me think to myself, oh, I think these South Americans are taking this a little more seriously than everybody else because they were going hard. Then Porto was like, ah, fuck, we actually got to play these niggas? Then they started going hard. Then the game ended up being good. No goals, yeah, though.
Richard Rios had his little cameo, played a little well. Felipe Anderson's in Palmeiras now, so yeah, that's where he is.
Yeah, my boy Fabio Vieira, again, is at Porto. We got him out there, still on loan, trying to make some money off this motherfucker because he's about to be a £35 million loss for us if no one is interested in him.
Botafogo and Seattle Sounders was 2-1. Very competitive game. The Brazilians dominated this one. Seattle responded. They got a goal. But guess what? Jordan Morris still ain't it.
Never was, never will be.
Fluminense and Dortmund was 0-0. The biggest highlight in this game is that Jude Bellingham's brother is wearing the offensive lineman jersey number 77.
Yeah, I wonder why Job chose that. Maybe it's because of the time of the season it is. Maybe some numbers will clear up once the market has gotten a chance, because 77 is not cute for a footballer. It's just not. Like, you're not Luka Doncic, bro. Like, chill with all that. Like, get you a proper shirt, okay?
Yeah.
Even if you've got to do 22 like your brother, do that shit.
Yeah.
Or is that why he's doing it, you think? Like, the 2-2-7-7 kind of look alike?
But not who the knows, same? Man? That family just be doing shit. Light-skinned people. Mm. River Plate and Urawa Red Diamonds was 3-1. You know the funny thing about the kid Franco who's going to Real Madrid?
Yeah, Mastantuono.
Yeah, you know they can't call him Franco?
Because of Franco?
General Franco, yeah.
So they can't call him Franco because of that?
Yeah.
That seems weird. Surely there have been other Francos that played for Real Madrid before now.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that research on a different show, you know. But yeah, I'm actually very curious about this. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Hey, what was that? Oh, no, that was Fernando Hierro, not Franco. Damn.
You can't think of one.
I'll figure it out, but you know.
Okay.
Surely there have been Francos. Surely. Come on.
Yeah. But as we were saying, the South American teams are taking this very seriously. River Plate beat their ass, so that was that. Yeah. And Flamengo and Esperance Tunis. Again, South American teams taking it seriously. They beat them 2-0, so good for Flamengo.
Yeah. Yeah, I got highlights because Jorginho popped up, got an assist, which was nice. Saw him, you know, I saw the extended highlights. So he was looking, it was looking like he was, you know, he was doing Jorginho things. He controlled the game essentially for the time he was on the pitch, at least from what I could tell from the highlights. And to get an assist on your debut, not bad for a defensive midfielder.
Question for you, do you know who Flamengo's coach is?
That old fullback from Atleti, I forget his name, the Brazilian.
Felipe Luis.
Yeah, does he still have the ponytail?
I think so. I think once you have a ponytail, you always have a ponytail.
Yeah, you got to commit to that for the rest of your life. You know? Yeah, that's just what it is. I heard he's doing pretty well in Brazil.
Yeah, he is.
He's won a couple tournaments and all the rest, even though that doesn't really have anything to do with how Flamengo qualified for this tournament, from what I can tell. because Chelsea shouldn't be here, but somehow they are. But yeah, know, that's someone else's problem.
Yeah, and Liam Delap did look good for Chelsea, by the way. I know we didn't talk about LAFC, but Liam Delap looked solid. So
what was the score of that game? 2-0 Chelsea?
2-0, yeah. LAFC could have won or scored a goal, but they were wasteful. They were very wasteful.
Yeah, Danny Boanga was doing bullshit. I actually had that on in the background the other day. And I thought LAFC had an opportunity to do something there, but it didn't happen. That's okay.
I got a fun fact about Flamengo for you.
Yeah?
I saw Zico today. I was at a Q&A with Zico, the legend. Yeah. That's what's up. He can speak English. He just chose not to. He just spoke in Portuguese and had a translator. It was so fire.
Hey, man. Like, you got to be comfortable, man. You're Zico. You're one of the best Brazilian number 10s to ever live. Yeah, you can get away with that. That's fine.
Yeah. I told my dad yesterday about Zico. I was going to see Zico. You know what my dad said? He said, I'm worried in Italy. He says he hates Italy because of what they did to him in the 82 World Cup when they tore his jersey. So... Old beef never dies, I guess.
Your dad needs to find some other beef, I beg.
He hates Italy for 94 as well, so.
Just before we continue, how many more of your family members are you going to mention today?
You, maybe. Let's go to the CONCACAF Gold Cup, speaking of family. Woo!
This is a tournament I have paid some attention to.
Yes, in the battle of who speaks better Spanish, Mexico beat Dominican Republic 3-2. Edson Alvarez was a difference. Shout out to him. His celebration was to basically tell the Mexican fans he's with them, given the turmoil that's going on politically right now. So shout out to Edson Alvarez.
What turmoil? What's going on?
Ice babies around.
Oh, stadium security, as they're called, otherwise.
Yeah, which is also affecting the Club World Cup as well. So, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. People don't want to go to games when they think they might get deported for going to a game. That's wild to me. I wouldn't have thought that. I figured people love getting deported, but what do I know? I'm just a guy. But this game was actually pretty good. The Dominican Republic had apparently never scored in this tournament before this game, and they scored twice, which was pretty nice. Peter Gonzalez plays at Getafe, you know. The goal was way prettier than anything that happens at Getafe. We all know that Mr. Bordalas runs shit over there. They don't play no pretty shit. It's all long ball and wrestling over there. But he scored a lovely goal. And Edison Ascona, a guy that plays for a club called the Las Vegas Lights in the USL, basically the US second division. They both got the goals for the Dominican. But just a really entertaining game from 2-0 up for Mexico to 2-2. For the Dominican, then Mexico got the winner right afterwards. I enjoyed it. Raul Jimenez nutmegged the goalkeeper for what I believe was, I don't think that was the winner. I think that was the second goal. Like, it all blends together, folks. Sorry to be a shit reporter. I think it was the second goal. Then Edson Alvarez got essentially the winner, but it was deflected by one of his teammates, I think Cesar Montes. But really fun game. Really fun game. I love the Gold Cup, man. It's a fun tournament.
Yeah. Platinos everybody, man. Shout out to Dominican Republic.
I'll get there.
This is the Platinos show.
Yes.
USA beat Trinidad and Tobago 5-0. You beat who you can beat on paper. USA have been struggling lately, but they beat the shit out of Trinidad and Tobago. Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know who Trinidad and Tobago's coach is?
Dwight York.
In
fantastic shape, by the way. He was looking really hench. I appreciate that. I don't like when I see the our role models from when we were kids, all sloppy and old and shit. I'm talking to you, Wesley Snyder, you fat prick.
I mean, when you avoid your kids like Dwight York, you got a lot of time to lift weights. So,
hey, man, fuck them kids. They'll be all right.
LeBron James ain't need a dad, did he?
Nope, he did not.
Nope. But yeah, USA beat them 5-0. Malik Tillman got a brace. The Ghanaian boy, Patrick Ayemayang. Yes. He's a great story. Played D3, transferred to D1, made it. So good for him. Yeah, good for him.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan. Just big fucking lump just running around bumping into niggas and shit. Like, nigga, can you fucking finish a chance already? Like, there's nothing, like, you know, there's value in being a striker that gets into good positions. But if you're not going to do nothing, can you just retire? Please, for the love of God. I'm not interested in your human interest story. I don't care what division you came from. Just fucking score. Haji Wright came on the pitch, you know, after like 70-something minutes. Came on, bagged a goal. Brandon, Paxton Aaronson, one of them Aaronson little niggas, Brendan, came on the pitch, grabbed the goal. That's what we want. We want production. I don't want stories. I beg. I'm tired of, you know, people's lives being awesome and, oh, he grew up near the stadium and blah, blah. I don't care, nigga. Do what you're there to do. That said, the U.S. was due some good news. Four losses in a row was bad. The vibes were shit. Fucking Captain America not showing up because he needs a break. I'm not going to knock him for that because he does need a break. We started this podcast by talking about how the Club World Cup is killing motherfuckers, you know, with the schedule and all that. And Christian Pulisic deciding not to partake in the Gold Cup is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, that said, the coach, Mauricio Pochettino, is right to say, listen, if you're not going to come to the tournament, you don't get to play the friendlies before the tournament. I don't have time to waste with all that. The drama surrounding it, though, I mean, I guess it just means America is a football country to an extent because they're arguing about nothing, really. But I don't feel like anyone was wrong in this situation.
Yeah.
Besides Pulisic's father, because American sports parents are just the worst. It's like, get your ass off the fucking internet, fucking asking ChatGPT to diss Landon Donovan. Like, these people are pathetic, man. They really are. Like, every year it's one of them. It was the Reynas a little while ago. Now it's this asshole. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Diego Luna's looks like a solid player, by the way.
Love that kid. I was going to say he needs to be on the plane, but in America, that would mean him getting deported. So he needs to stay for the World Cup next year. Do you think he starts?
No, I don't think he starts. He'll come off the bench for sure. Okay. Right. Yeah, but that's a very good player, man.
He did something, I think, for the opening goal in this game. He did something that I really admired. You know, the pressing was really good, but then again, Trinidad and Tobago were fucking terrible. And they really targeted Trinidad and Tobago's right center back in this game because he was, as bad as Trinidad and Tobago were, he was actually a level below his teammates on top of that. Mm-hmm. I probably should have learned his name so I could insult him directly, but lucky him. But Luna sees him with his back to play and knows that he's going to play a back pass with the goalkeeper. And he just keeps his press going, runs through. The guy passes the ball like he shouldn't have done. And Luna runs. And that's just, to me, even though the player's level is not where we need it to be, that's just an indication that Diego Luna is very thoughtful about this game. He's, you know, he's on it. He knows, you know, he's switched on. And he really should have gotten his debut goal at some point in this game. But his best chance, I believe, got deflected by, was it Tillman?
I think so, yeah.
He plays getting two assists, which ain't bad.
Tillman plays solid too, so good for him.
He was fantastic yeah, as well.
What do you think about the Gold Cup, the relevance of it?
I've always sort of viewed it as, you know, because I think to my knowledge, it's always been the U.S. and Mexico basically swapping the trophy, you know? But it doesn't mean that I don't have great memories from it. You know, I remember when... probably my favorite memory, which is fucked up because I have an American passport, but it was when, what's the name of the little motherfucker that used to play for Mexico that was supposed to be the new Ronaldinho?
Giovanni Dos Santos.
Yes, remember that goal in the final back in, like, I want to say 2011? Oh my God, what a goal.
Yes.
Like, I remember where I was, what I yelled, which, I mean, even by the standards of this podcast, I cannot repeat. It was such a fantastic goal. But that's it. To the relevance of it, I'm going to speak directly to the relevance for the big teams in the country. Like, for the smaller teams, any competition is good because it helps players develop. For the bigger teams, I've always sort of viewed the Gold Cup. Well, one, there's continental bragging rights. That's not nothing. I mean, this is their version of AFCON. You know, I know it's not on the level, but it is what it is. Then two, I think the bigger teams, the U.S., Mexico, Canada, potentially, have often used this tournament to sort of blood in new players into the squad. Like, those of you that aren't part of the current squad, you know, we're going to take a look at you, see how good you are, see where you might fit in into the next squad for a big tournament. So it retains relevance in that regard. I mean, Pochettino definitely wants this to be present because he needs to whip these guys in shape for the World Cup, which, despite the victory against Trinidad and Tobago, shit ain't looking good, bruv. But he gets these reps to be able to, you know, get his team in shape. So I think it's still relevant, maybe not as relevant as some other tournaments, and that's fair, given the constitution of CONCACAF. That's no one's fault. There are only three really good teams in the conference, really, or in the confederation, rather. U.S., Mexico, Canada. Occasionally, we'll get a nice Panama team. We'll get a nice
Costa Rica
team. But for the most part, you know, it's kind of a lesser tier tournament, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it. I'd rather be watching this than the Club World Cup.
For sure. Haiti lost to Saudi Arabia 1-0.
Damn. I think losing for the guest team means you shouldn't qualify for the next three editions. Like, when you bring a guest team, you can't lose to them. Like, shoot somebody if you have to. Call Wyclef. Someone please call 911.
They got locked up like Praz.
Damn. Yeah, Praz in jail?
Yeah.
Damn.
He's got like 20, apparently he's going to do like 20-something years.
That's crazy. Somehow this is Lauryn Hill's fault. I don't know how, but it is.
I mean, well, if Haiti didn't show up one time, they wouldn't have lost. So, Costa Rica, they beat Suriname 4-3. Suriname not making that much ballers anymore, man.
I mean, they make ballers consistently. They're just all Dutch.
No, I meant like even the pipeline is not there anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what happened to that, but you know, they put it this way: they've done enough for the game for the rest of eternity. They gave us Clarence Seedorf, if I'm not mistaken.
They gave us, yeah, they did. Yeah.
Well, then that's enough. They don't got to do shit else. That's more than most places will ever do. This game was. This was a highlight game for me. The only game I've really watched a little bit was the LAFC versus Chelsea game, and the Mexico-Dominican Republic game, which are two different tournaments. That said, this Costa Rica versus Suriname game was a fun watch. If you have a chance to go watch the highlights, I would say go watch them. Costa Rica racing to a 2-0 lead. There was a penalty in the bunch. It was looking like Suriname were going to get murdered, because it was 2-0. I want to say like 15 minutes into the game. It was looking bad. Then shit got crazy because Suriname bagged one right before halftime with a great header. Then in the second half, they went crazy. They bagged two more, including a penalty of their own. They went up 3-2. Then Costa Rica equalized shortly afterwards. So it was 3-3 for a long period of the second half. Suriname hit the post towards the end, so they could have won it. But in the 12th minute of what was supposed to be 8 minutes of added time, I don't know what's going on with added time anymore. Costa Rica got another penalty. It was deserved. And a fella called Manfred Ugarte tucked it away. I think he scored the first penalty as well, and they won it at the death. But question for you, Tosin. Would you prefer Manfred Ugarte or the Ugarte you have at your club right now?
I prefer no Ugarte. I'd much rather play with 10 men than any Ugarte. That Ugarte we have on my team has given me so much PTSD. I don't even know what a midfielder looks like anymore.
I told you, bro. I told you.
Suriname gave us Van Dijk, Edgar Davids, and Ryan Babel.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, so I just had to look that up because it was going to bother me. And Ruud Gullit.
Well, that is probably you know what? When coaches are around again, we need to have a discussion as to who was better, Ruud Gullit or Clarence Seedorf.
They even gave us Nigel de Jong.
They can take him back. I don't want
to. Xavi Simmons is from there.
See, Frank Rijkaard. Pipeline ain't dying, man. I told you.
Frank Rijkaard's there.
They got ballers, man. They got ballers. Pipeline is working. Yeah. Pause on pipeline and working.
Yeah, that's crazy work. Jamaica lost to Guatemala 1-0. Jamaica is... Somebody said the other day Jamaicans are nautical Nigerians. And you know what? I don't want to agree, but we're both unseriously corrupt when it comes to football, when it comes to life. And Jamaica could have so much a better team, right, but they just choose not to.
Well, Mikel Antonio came back after that car accident he suffered during the season, so that was fucking awesome. So shout out to that whole situation. Mm-hmm. But I know we've long considered Jamaica to be our Caribbean cousins as Nigerians. You know, they're sort of the Nigerian of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But I've given this some thought in recent months, you know, and I don't want to claim them anymore. I don't want to claim Jamaicans no more. And I say that because, you know, the most iconic Jamaican of all time is Bob Marley. And arguably his equivalent in Nigerian, Bob Marley is called Fela.
Yeah.
And I would like to point out that Fela did not marry any white woman.
Or have a white dad.
And Bob Marley did all of the above. Therefore, Jamaica, we are now relegating you to Ghana status. Enjoy that.
Did we just do a diaspora war?
Hey man, if somebody want to edit this shit out, they can go ahead and do it. I'm not doing
it. Nah, we're keeping this. And coach, you better not edit this out.
Oh man, he don't know how to edit. Fuck that name.
Panama beat Guadeloupe 5-0.
Was it 5-0?
I believe it was something like
5-2, I think. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Let me respect your pronouns, Guadalupe. It was 5-2, yes.
5-2, yeah, it was 5-2. Yes. That's my bad. That's my bad. But shout out my nigga Mo, or my nigga Rina, Miss Picharino. Your people doing good. But yeah, I didn't really watch this, you know, because I got a life, so whatever.
Yeah, they had 23 shots.
That feels like bullying.
Yeah. So 54% possession. So.
Okay. I mean, at least they scored. That's always good. Yeah. I like when the Minnows scored. You may get flugged, but at least score. Yeah. Talking to you, Auckland City pricks.
Yeah. Canada plays eventually. So if you never watch Canada play, you could do that tomorrow.
Who are they playing?
Canada, I believe they're playing. That is a good question.
Honduras. I don't even know. Honduras.
Oh, they're playing Honduras. Okay. Yeah. So Jesse Marsh has those boys like firing, ready to go. Yeah. Jesse Marsh has them. Yeah, they play today at 10:30. So if you're gonna stay up late, I'm not gonna be staying up that late to watch football. I'm good.
Yeah. There's also Curacao El Salvador game as well. Curacao is dope. That's where the Timbers are from. Urien Timber and Quinton.
Yeah. It's like, shout out to them.
It's like Suriname for Christians.
Let's go to transfer market. Gattuso's officially replaced Spalletti as a manager. I don't know how to feel about that, but I guess like he can cuss them out in Italian.
Hey man, I it feels like a good hire. It doesn't really move the needle one way or the other, but it feels like the right job at the right time for the right man. Now, is it going to get them to the World Cup? I don't know about that. Norway are like 9 points ahead of them in their group right now, so we'll have to see. But I can't be mad at it. What were the other options? Ranieri said no, and rightly so. And I don't know who else they talk to. So, yeah, go on Gattuso, man. At least he's a character. He'll give us that. So there'll be some good press conferences at a minimum.
Sometimes maybe shit. Sometimes maybe not.
Maybe good.
Yeah, but Italy has a real talent problem. And the thing is, they got a really talented young generation. So they just don't blood in their youngsters like the Premier League and like other leagues.
It's not a talent problem. It's a pipeline problem. Italy's football development has erectile dysfunction. That's what's going on. They have good players. They don't give them chances.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to this podcast, take a shot every time you hear pipeline.
So that's about four shots now? Five?
It's a lot of shots. A lot of pipe. A lot of line.
Only do those shots if you're at work. If you're not at work, don't do the shots.
Yeah. I don't drive when you're doing it. Bournemouth, they signed Adrien Truffert from Rennes. That means Kukoc is going to Liverpool, apparently. So
he's been linked to Liverpool for a while. But, I guess that's a good thing because it probably means they don't have to play Andy Robertson anymore. And he was washed like two seasons ago, even though they managed to win the league with him last year. That said, I know a bunch of fans of the team I support are looking at Liverpool's business right now. You know, they're about to close up Florian Wirtz as well at the end of the week. Apparently he has a medical on Friday. I would say, listen, man, when the game closes a window, a door opens. Look at it that way. You know, like they may have bought players, but what does that mean? Okay. Think about Liverpool's fullbacks now. Like on paper, their fullbacks would be potentially, because I know Conor Bradley is there too, but I don't rate him like that. Jeremy Frimpong and this Kirkus fella from Bournemouth. Both them niggas short as fuck, man. You know? So that's something they're going to have to deal with. Like, nothing occurs in a vacuum, okay? Just because they've done some shopping early doesn't mean that you have to freak out and tweet weird stuff that Mikel Arteta won't see anyway. So relax. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Relax.
Mikel Arteta's, guess what Mikel Arteta's doing that you're not while you're complaining? He's out with his wife on a beach. Go get a wife or a husband and go to the beach. How about that?
You know, like we told you earlier, go get some hoes, man.
Yeah. We talking too much, man. Andy Robertson, is linked to Atletico Madrid. City have signed Shirky to Johnny Rangers, and Shirky's been talking crazy about Man United, so fuck off.
We love it. We love it. That's what we want in the game. Like, everyone talks about how the game is gone and people don't have personalities and players don't do this. And hey, man, this dude can play. The price was a bargain. I don't know how City did that, but the price was a bargain for sure. At that price, I feel like my club should have been involved too. And he's a good player and he's stoking a rivalry that already exists. That's a good thing. Like, when the next United City derby pops up, everyone's going to remember that he said this stuff. Then we're going to care a little bit more to see what he does against your guys. And hopefully there's a guy in your team that's like, fuck Ryan Shirky. And, you know, this is what we want. We just want to, it's entertainment, people, and he's entertaining us. So I have no beef with him. And obviously I hate United. I hate City. Well, actually, no, I'm more like indifferent and disgusted, but you know what I mean. But I think this is a good thing. Welcome to the league, Ryan Shirky. When you meet Declan Rice, we'll see how you feel. When you meet Carlos Baleba, we'll see if you're still talking.
I mean, he met Ugarte and couldn't do anything, but that's neither here nor there.
Hey, man, he was on a shit team. Calm down with all that. Now he's on a good team. We'll see what Ugarte can do against him now. You see.
I hope Ugarte goes away for me and my sake. Is there anything else you want to talk about, man?
Nah, man, nah. Thanks for rocking with us, folks. We took a little break because, as Tosin said a little earlier, buddy, no be firewood, you know. So we took a little break, but we plan to keep things regular through the summer. You know, you hear from us once or twice a week, maybe more. We have some exclusive YouTube stuff as well. Coach and I did a bit of a scouting report for two players linked to Arsenal. Two defenders, Gerald Heito and Alexandro Ribeiro, who plays for Lille. Gerald Heito plays for Ajax. He's been linked for a while. We did like an impromptu, informal scouting type thing. So let us know what you think about that. Put some comments there. I'm sure we can improve it. Let us know how, if you have any thoughts on it. Otherwise, thanks for rocking with us. Keep rocking with us. Like, share, subscribe, all that good shit. And we will talk to you soon, won't we, Tosin?
We absolutely will. I did have something I wanted to bring up, but I'm not giving that man any attention. So we're going to leave that alone.
Okay.
So, we're out, everybody. Take it easy. Peace. My plans are true. My plans are true.